Tim and Richard, I'd like you to paint us a scenario. You first, Tim, if you could, if we get these anti-gravity devices in automobiles. We, of course, would get away from our reliance on foreign oil, that's for sure. But how would this work? Everybody flying around up there, there'd be some heck traffic jams and some catastrophes, don't you think?
Well, you know, the FAA put in a system, I believe it's called the Light Aircraft Control System, and it's actually the precursor for vehicles like the Mueller Skycar that use, you know, conventional aerospace thrust, don't get the best mileage, but do fly, you know, a little bit more like, I guess, the Skycar of the Jetsons than, you know, your conventional automobile would. And the presumption behind this system is that you could hop into one of these vehicles. The vehicle will be tied, you know, computer-controlled, tied into the system. You punch in your destination coordinates, and it takes you there. And, you know, it would be guided by a series of beacons that they're putting in cities, I guess much the same way cell towers are all over the place. You know, different vehicles flying in different directions might fly at different heights to avoid collisions. You know, but it ties back into one of the really pressing concerns, which is traffic. You know, I live in the Seattle area, and for a while I was commuting from the east side of Lake Washington over the bridge to the west. And the traffic is a nightmare. You know, there are many days that it would be an hour to 2 hours sitting in traffic. And I know this isn't unique. You know, a lot of major cities have the same problem. Anti-gravity can really help with that, even in terms of lost productivity. If you factor in the salary, you know, that people make, especially with a lot of professionals in the area, it adds up to thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, per day, per city. Just the idea of sitting in traffic, it turns people into something they don't want to be, too, because it really makes road rage happen. You know, they're sitting there in their car, breathing in fumes. You know, at best, they're playing with the knobs on the radio, but it leads to accidents and all sorts of, you know, just makes people into people they don't want to be emotionally, I think.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We wouldn't have to worry about potholes anymore, would we?
Remember that great line from Back to the Future? Where we're going, they don't need roads.
Exactly.
I have a friend, a dear friend, Carrie Clark, and her significant other, Zeke, who are listening somewhere tonight in an 18-wheeler on the road somewhere. And for years, Carrie has been interested in this kind of technology because in addition to running a trucking company, she's fascinated by, you know, the future and what we've been doing, and she was my, you know, administrative assistant for many, many years. I introduced her to Gene Maloff. And Gene and she got into some interesting discussions of the social uses of cold fusion, free energy, those kind of breakthroughs. Well, the anti-gravity coin has two sides. The one side is freedom from gravitational pull. The other side is free energy. If you have a way to control inertia or gravity on demand, you have an intimate pipeline to ultimate unlimited free energy, which means you could transform not only this society, but every society on the planet, the life of every single human being, everyone would have anything they ever wanted at pennies compared to today's costs, because a lot of the transportation costs that go into a product are simply the gas costs and the energy costs of bringing it from where it's manufactured or grown to where it's consumed or needed. And, you know, ocean travel between here and Australia is the cheapest to go to Australia because it's what's called an equipotential surface. You're floating on a gravity field called an ocean, and the only energy you use is to propel you along, namely to make the propellers turn, to push you through the water, where, of course, you're fighting water resistance. If you could produce robotic freighters that were the size of ocean liners and could hover at different altitudes under GPS satellite control,
oh, sure,
you would completely revolutionize the life of every ordinary human being on this planet almost overnight simply by drastically slashing the cost of transporting things between point A and point B.
How realistic is this technology in the next 20 years? Tim?
Well,
Richard?
One of the things that has been just absolutely amazing, yeah, and this is really just in the last few years that this has started to happen, but through my work, through some of the investigative reporting I've tried to do, and just making contacts to learn more about the ideas out there, you know, I'm starting to realize that people are working together like never before. And again, a lot of these are, you know, PhD physicists, aerospace engineers, people who are interested in these technologies, they're interested in anti-gravity, and they're willing to work on it privately and share their results with other experimenters. They're just a little bit worried about management at their company. And so I guess one of the roadblocks to these technologies has been this giggle factor that people talk about. You know, you say anti-gravity and people think, oh yeah, Star Trek, okay, whatever. You know, but there's a reality to it below that. And, you know, that reality is part of American culture. It's this myth and legend that we've talked about for decades. So, you know, it's definitely here. There's this critical mass building, and I think once it builds to a certain point, we're going to see a whole new class of not only transportation, but also energy technologies.